Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast, the show where we bring you weekly installments of wedding planning inspiration and information, along with a healthy dose of hashtag real talk. Today, we're discussing how you can make your wedding unique, but we're the first to admit that this is a bit of a confusing concept.
Yes, we're not going to talk about exchanging your vows in a hot air balloon or a shark tank, not least because both of those things have actually been done before. Instead, we'll be chatting about the little touches that make a wedding personal in a natural and authentic way. Everything from open mic speeches to food inspired by your granny's cooking. And we've got a pretty special guest to help us do it, writer, author and creative events planner Aoife McIlwain.
Yes, Aoife definitely did things her own way when she got married. And it started with the proposal. She actually proposed to her partner, Niall.
Yeah, it's definitely something I think a lot of women are interested in doing and not quite sure how it'll go down. So I think it'd be great to chat to Aoife and hear about how it all happened.
It'd be so interesting to hear how people reacted to it, because I'd say she got a few snide comments, even though I'm so here for it.
I
love the Leap Day movie inspired proposal idea. So yeah, I can't wait to chat to her about that. And of course, about her wedding, which looks like it was just really, really unusual and amazing.
One Fab Day expert wedding tips.
Everything we do here at the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast is designed to help you plan an amazing wedding day and enjoy the process as much as possible. So with that in mind, we make sure to include a handy piece of advice in each episode. Claire, you've chosen this week's tip. What have you got?
So this one sounds really dull, but I promise it will be helpful. It's think about who gets the buttonholes and corsages.
Okay, before we go any further, can we bring corsages back?
Yes, I think corsages are back.
Oh, okay, maybe they are, and I haven't seen them at any weddings recently.
Oh, I think we had them at our wedding. Can I bring a trend back? Just single-handed?
Yeah, just you.
Sure.
Yeah, just yeah. Marco's mom bringing the trend back.
And my sister.
And your sister, yeah. Because I love the idea of, you know, including kind of relatives and people who maybe aren't in the bridesmaid or groomsman gang in the wedding.
Yes. So it can be a nice way, if you're not having a wedding party, to kind of make a little squad. But also, I think it's important to think of who'll be in the room when they're getting dished out. So say at my sister's wedding, the buttonholes were there for my dad and my husband and her husband, and there were two of his relatives there. He's from Greece, so he didn't have a lot of family at the wedding. And there were two of his relatives there, and they forgot to get buttonholes for them, and they were in the room with all the guys getting ready. And it was kind of an awkward, like, oh no, we should have got you guys some.
Yeah, it was a bit of an anticlimax.
Yes. So I think it's just a matter of thinking carefully through that moment of like when you're all putting them on, and also thinking through the photos and the collective groups that will be in the different photos, making sure that anyone who should have one does have one.
And a nice way to include any friends or family members, I suppose, who are like sort of out on their own, not necessarily part of the wedding party, like, you know, a younger brother or something like that.
Yeah, we also have an American intern in the office who told us that in the US, anyone who kind of deals with the venue or things like that wears one so that the venue knows they're like official wedding people. So it's a good idea to say if you've got a friend who is liaising with all your suppliers on the day, just so that they know who to go to.
I love that idea. Kind of like in the day when you'd put a rose in a book to identify yourself on a blind date.
Sure, I was going to say like a prefect badge.
same. Yeah, so this is a really good one and something that you might miss if Claire wasn't reminding you.
That's what I'm here for.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
The title of this episode is How to Make Your Wedding Unique. But before I go any further, I have to offer some brief words of warning. If you set out to plan a totally unique wedding, you'll be A, setting yourself up for failure, and B, adding a ton of stress to the wedding planning process.
Absolutely, you will be. You should never feel like your wedding is somehow unworthy because it slightly resembles someone else's. This episode is more about giving yourself permission to create the kind of wedding that truly reflects yours and your partner's personalities. And our guest today did just that. In 2015, Aoife McIlwain tied the knot with her lovely other half, Niall, and it sounds like a totally magical bash. I think we can call you a multi-hyphenate at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
There's a lot going on. You're a food writer, you run Sing Along Social, which is maybe the best crack thing you can do with your time in Dublin or in Ireland. And you're an author as well. We'll get into all of that. But first of all, thank you for coming and joining us.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
So one thing I'm really interested to ask you about is your proposal, because I believe you did the proposing.
That's right. Yes, when I got to, when I first proposed to, or when I, okay, wait. I was, when I first proposed, he said yes. So that was, it was a good start. Yes, I decided to propose to my husband, Niall, on Leap Year Day. This is about, it's like not the last leap year, the one before. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be a really fun thing to do. We had kind of been talking about getting married, and somebody mentioned that Leap Year was coming up, and one of my favorite best worst movies is Leap Year starring Amy Adams. So I was like, this would be gas if I proposed to him on Leap Year day. So I took his mother out for dinner to ask permission.
You did
for
the whole thing.
His hand in marriage.
That's
yes.
so sweet.
That was really cute.
The mom usually doesn't get to do that bit.
Yeah, so that was really, really lovely. And I took her to Terra Madre, which I thought was pretty appropriate,
nice.
Which is on Bachelor's Walk, beautiful little Italian place in the city centre. And it was just, it was really sweet. And she really loved that, like being a part of it in that way. And it was a good way to kind of read how their family would sort of, like, would they take it seriously? Would they be into the idea? Mm. And, you know, I also got some pep talks from my own family as well. So everyone was on board. And I proposed to Niall in the Ivy Gardens, which is where we had one of our first dates. So got down on one knee and everything. And it was really, really good fun. And it's interesting because I think even now, so what's that kind of six? I can't do the maths. Is it nearly 8 years ago?
Sure.
Yeah. I guess this, what, I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
So I think now it wouldn't be so unusual for a woman to propose, you know? I think it would be more common, but it, even just that short time ago, it was a bit like, oh, am I going to be taken seriously? Because I thought it would be great crack, and like I knew that he would think it was fun, but I also wanted him to, you know, like take it seriously.
Yeah. You don't want him to be like, haha, that's gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. And then you've put a lot of thought and a lot of work into
it. That's it. That's it. And it was really fun when we went to the Ivy Gardens because it was unexpectedly packed on this day. So, you know, I didn't want to propose in front of like loads of people in case he was like, no, or whatever. Yeah. So, or in case he'd feel embarrassed or.
Or he'd been like, I was going to do this
or
weekend.
Whatever or something. Yeah. So I ended up like basically like leading him into a ditch, you know, and he was like, what are you doing? You know, he was like,
glamorous.
So weird. And then I was like, oh, getting stressed. I was like, where are we going to find this? Like, where am I going to propose to him? And then just out of nowhere, we were walking down one of the paths and this like beautiful tree appeared. And I just stopped him there and got down on one knee. And it was so lovely because the expression on his face was like the expression that in my best imaginings of how it was going to go, that was the expression. He thought it was, I could see he thought it was funny, but I knew he was kind of taking me seriously and whatever. But then I can't really remember what I said. I was probably like, marry me. I don't know what to say. I love you. Here's my hand in marriage. And your mom said it was okay. So it was just really lovely. And then we got married, oh gosh, I don't know, 3 or 4 years later. I can't quite remember either. I always forget our wedding anniversary. So we did get married. I did study it today. We got married on the 29th of December. I think it was 2014, but don't quote me on that. Because I've just remembered the date, but a good friend of mine, one of my bridesmaids, she made me a Christmas decoration, and it has our anniversary on it, so every time I put it...
Handy.
It's a good reminder a few weeks out.
And then I'm like, 29th, got it.
I would like to add to that story, because I met you guys that day.
Did you?
Do you remember this? I was like, they probably will never remember this, because they were in a newly engaged haze. I probably was the first person you bumped into. You went to the Shelburne for a drink?
Yes.
And I was there doing an interview because I was a music journalist at the time.
Oh my gosh.
And Niall's a music writer. So I rocked up to Niall going, oh, hey, you here for the interview? And the two of you were like, no. But my favourite part was that you said to me, oh, well, obviously it's because Niall's favourite movie is Leap Year starring Amy Adams. And you had me going for a good 2 seconds. It's my favourite thing, that you were just getting right in with the rumour mill.
It's so lovely that you mentioned that, because it was really lovely walking around town that day, because we did meet quite a few people that we knew. And I guess this was early days of Twitter. It was pre-Instagram, but I did tweet like a kind of series of pictures of like me, the tree, my knee, which had gotten kind of muddy, you know, and it was really lovely. And people were, you know, just very happy for us. And that's a lovely feeling. But it was really nice kind of walking around town. We met a few other pals who had kind of either... We were like, hey, Annie, how are you? What's going on? What's we were like, we just got engaged. And it was really nice. So thank you for reminding me of that.
And how were the reactions? Were they mostly positive?
To me proposing?
Yeah.
You mean?
Did anyone kind of, were there any choice words that people came out with? Like, oh, I'm really surprised, or?
Yes. It's an interesting question. I was surprised. Once or twice there was a few comments like that did annoy me at the time, of like, oh was he like just not getting to it, or were he, you know, was he, you know? And I was like, no, he was gonna get to it. And anyway, like, I wasn't in a rush or anything like that, you know. We'd been together good while then, so. And that was a bit like missing the point, maybe. And certainly my mom wasn't 100% sure about it. Like, classic kind of Irish mammy style. She just like got straight to like the worst possible case scenario. Do you know?
Troubleshooting mom.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, just see problems, they need to fix them. But like, it's the vocalizing part that can be hard on their daughters.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
Such good intention. She's like, do you... She's going to really not be happy with me talking about this. But it's so long ago. And everything worked out in the end. But she was like, do you think will Niall not feel like less of a man? And I was like, Mom!
That's the exact thing that I want no one to say.
It's like, how did you do that? How did you find my worst fear about this? That is anyway dumb and stupid. And anyway, she made up for it in so many different ways. But for example, I didn't know, should I get Niall an engagement ring? Should I get something for myself? What should I do? So I ended up giving Niall a little lapel pin that my mom had had. It was about 30 years old at that stage, and she knew that it would be perfect. So that was her way of kind of making up for like freaking me out about it.
That's really sweet.
When I first told her about it. Poor mom. It's just moms sometimes. Yeah. I think they're just so good at spotting problems.
But you would recommend proposing it?
Yes.
If there are any women listening to this going, oh, I'd kind of like to do that, but I'm not sure.
Definitely. I think if you know your partner and you know it's the right thing to do, like, there's no... it was really, really fun. When other proposals happen, maybe you get to, you understand the other side of it, that you know, so that's kind of interesting too. And you can share kind of the war stories, because it's a different experience, because you're the one planning and you're the one thinking, oh, is this person going to say yes? Are they going to enjoy this proposal? Is it thoughtful enough? What should we do after? You know, all of that kind of stuff. So, and, you know, should I talk to their parents? And it's quite a really, I would highly recommend it. If it's the right person, sure, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And how was wedding planning for you? Was that an enjoyable experience, stressful one?
Well, okay, let me put it this way. I remember a couple of weeks before our wedding, I was so unbelievably stressed out and anxious about the entire thing that I decided to give myself a break by watching television. and I was channel surfing, and suddenly this program called The World's Most Dangerous Brides come on, and I was like, oh my god, this is for me. And I looked again, and it was actually The World's Most Dangerous Roads, but I was so like, bride, wedding, spreadsheets, that I was just like,
oh,
insane. I think basically myself and Niall did a very DIY wedding. We took over South Studios, which was like a big creative space in Dublin 8, really close to where we lived at the time. It's a complete blank canvas. So we brought in everything, tables, teaspoons, heaters, because we did have a winter wedding. And there was no kitchen in the place, so luckily the Fumbly Cafe let our chef use their kitchens. And then it was like, how are we going to get the food over to the venue? And it was just a lot. I don't have any regrets about it because we had an amazing time. However, the lead up, because there was just a longer to-do list than maybe if we had gone to a more traditional wedding venue, meant that maybe more was on us. And we had after our kind of South Studio takeover, we had a larger after party in the Dublin Co-op, which is where the Dublin Flea Market used to be. So again, that was, we were kind of doing two parties. And I think it was just the kind of longer to-do list. And then when you're doing something a bit differently, even now and since then, I've really noticed the difference. Like, I think wedding guests, even the kind of older generation, they love different weddings.
Yeah.
They love it. They're just like, thank goodness we are at something new. This is exciting and fun.
Yeah, they're the people you're most nervous about, but actually they're the most on board.
I think so, yeah. And I think when you're doing something differently, you can feel maybe a bit exposed, or, you know, that, you know, you're putting yourself out there. It can feel a bit vulnerable to do that. And then, so I think that for me anyway is where kind of a lot of the stress came from. But what I realized, and what I sort of reassure other brides and grooms and people who are getting married, is that, like, your wedding guests are the most sympathetic audience you're ever gonna have. They just want you to have a good time, and you're also not gonna please everybody. And that's a really good lesson in life, actually. You know, you just set up the cards, and if they want to kind of mixing metaphors here, I'm like, set up the cards and light the match. I don't know.
That's literally us every week. But yeah, you do think that, you know, oh, what if someone's really annoyed because I picked the wrong starter or whatever? Yeah. And, you know, A, no one thinks that, and B, if someone does, you know, they probably will keep it to themselves, and if they're not, they're kind of a jerk. So let them off.
It's that lovely mantra of the people who mind don't matter, and the people who matter don't mind. That's a really good one for a wedding, you know. And and I think it is really nice that there's a bit more flexibility of what people might expect, or and people enjoy a bit of difference. You know, it's tough because there's you know, it can feel really overwhelming with Pinterest and Instagram and all of the, you know, it's just the paradox of choice of having so much to choose from.
Yeah.
Are you going to make the right one? And, you know, at the end of the day, I think the narrative around weddings of being like the best day of your life is quite problematic, because it puts so much pressure on everybody.
It does.
And actually, I would say that it was one of the best days, but it was more like one of the most like real days for me, and the most connected present days. And, you know, like, it was great. It was really fun. I think Niall enjoyed it as well.
That's important too. I really like though that you said that your wedding, which I've seen photos outwardly, it looks like this cool, chilled, laid back day. And I'm aware, because I had a similar wedding, that the ones that seem chilled on the outside are the ones that the most work goes into. And we're like big advocates of people knowing that from the outset, that like, if you actually want a wedding where the whole process is chilled, book a venue with the package and be done with it.
Yes, totally. And it was really cool to be able to create something on a blank canvas and everything, but it took a lot of work. And actually, myself and Niall, even at that time, were working in events. Like, we had experience, you know, so that's just to say that we were more prepared maybe than than some.
And you were connected.
But it was, that's it. So, but still it took its toll. Just like, gosh, laughing at like even. What was fun though, what was really good, I was really happy on the day of the wedding. I think my bridesmaids thought that like, I don't know, I had maybe, they were a little concerned on the morning of the wedding because I was so calm. After being so stressed for quite a while. But I was really determined on the day just to be present and enjoy the day. And I really did. Except for there was a few bits, like the photographs kind of taking a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit that people maybe sort of...
underestimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you feel like you sort of want to like get in with the party and stuff like that. Yeah. But it was marvelous. Like everybody was just wonderful.
And obviously music is very important to both you and Niall because he works in music and obviously with Sing Along Social it's all about the tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a tricky thing to decide what kind of music you were going to have? Did you know instantly this is what we're going to do?
Yeah. As I explained, it was a very important part for our wedding because I would have been working a lot in food as well. So the food and music were the most important things to us and they were the things that we prioritized. So with the music, we had three bands. We had Ships, La Galaxy, and a band called The Elderly Brothers, which is my dad and my uncle.
Oh, very cute.
Which was unbelievable. They're on tour a lot, so, you know, they took some time out of their busy schedule supporting Bruce Springsteen. That was really important to me. My dad is a musician as well, and so is my uncle. So it was really important to me to have that family connection there. And I think with La Galaxy, they were personal friends of ours and a band as well that we had a lot of fun at their shows over the years and had seen them develop as well. And Ships were similar as well, close friends with them too, and also just love their music. And it was important to us, I suppose, that we wanted to showcase our life together, I guess. Mm-hmm. That sounds really kind of maybe a bit, that's where that pressure comes from, but I mean it in a positive way. It was more like we wanted to share the best of our lives with our friends and family. So that was why we wanted it to be in Dublin 8, where we were living at the time, where we still live. We wanted it to showcase the creative studio hub and this kind of blank canvas idea and what it's like to go into an old building in Dublin and experience an event that someone has created out of kind of nothing.
Mm.
And then to go over to the flea market house, or the Dublin Food Co-op, the venue there, and then have these three great bands that reflected us as people. And we also had a DJ as well. He used to go by the name of Neo Supervital, but now he's just Tim. And it was really important for us that the tunes reflected who we were. We had everything from like Siege of Ennis, mm-hmm. to Bruce Springsteen, to The Weight by the band, to like all of the Galaxy songs, Ships, and then I think we did, I definitely remember Kate Bush, and for sure the first time I ever crowd surfed was at my wedding.
Oh,
and
wow.
I crowd surfed twice, so that was pretty good.
Do you remember the song that was playing?
No.
You were too euphoric.
Too euphoric. Yeah.
There is something really nice though about that thing of like, it's our wedding and here's what our relationship has been like. We've been going to see these bands for years. Mm. You know, it's a nice way to personalize things, I think.
Let everyone in a little bit.
Yeah. And people were really up for it as well. I suppose maybe having the Elderly Brothers who played first and, you know, maybe did a few more traditional kind of, you know, wedding band songs. You know, that was a really good bridge. Mm. And I think people enjoyed that it was the family connection as well.
Mm.
And also they're really good musicians, so that also helped.
That helped.
It'd be terrible if like your dad like really stank at playing songs and you're like, my dad's gonna play.
And everyone clears out of the venue and you're like, guys,
could we go stand at the bar now?
No, they did a great job. It was really good.
And you packed a lot in as well. That's a lot of music for one event.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Just I cannot do things by halves. It's just not in my DNA, unfortunately.
So tell us about the food.
The food at the wedding had a wonderful chef, Hilary Brennan. She has another name now because she got married and now it's double. I've forgotten her name. Anyway, she's from Blast Catering, but she's one of the chefs at 3FE Coffee. She's the executive chef for them. And so I wanted to reflect again that kind of simple home cooking and food that, again, myself and Niall really loved. We had kind of sharing starters, and beetroot hummus is something I'm kind of famous for. Just a little brag there.
You didn't make your own for your wedding, did you?
No.
We did have a real wedding recently where a bride catered her own wedding. Now, she didn't make the food. She designed the menus and handed it over to a team. Mm. But still, I was like, oh, that's very ambitious now.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm sure at one stage I thought I would make it. And then, you know, somebody talked me off the cliff, I'd say. Mm. But I remember, and it's so lovely. A friend of mine made for her own wedding. She made beautiful favors of little pots of jam. And it was so cute on the wedding. I think it was her husband, or maybe the best man anyway, referenced these beautiful pots of jam. And he was like, there's literally like sweat, tears, and probably blood in that jam. Like, it was like, I could only imagine there's like, they were beautifully like individually labeled. It was gorgeous, but she was like, nearly killed me making all that jam. So it was delicious. It was a really sweet thing.
Often there are ways to create the same sentiment and to make things personal or reflective of you, but you don't have to do everything with your own hands.
Yes,
I guess is the point.
Mm, definitely. We're all for delegating and opting out of things where possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Delegate that to-do list. And I know that you guys had like a bit of a hashtag going on the wedding, hashtag love jam.
Before your time.
Before your time.
Oh my gosh, that was such a good segue. Jam to love jam. So I always think things are better when you just give them a name or a theme. Mm. And actually, my family and friends get a little tired of me theming everything. Like, you know, it can't just be brunch. It has to be like disco brunch. And then we'll have like, you know, Diana croissants. And like, you know, scramble sister slags. That's a bit, you know. So anyway,
I love your enthusiasm. Something else.
Thanks. Yeah. And yeah, so I wanted to give the wedding a name, I think. And anyway, it came to me in the middle of the night. And it was
That's
so
the best things do.
Yeah. So we got beautiful, amazing Irish illustrator Fatty Burke to do a logo for us and a little family crest. And then we used those designs for a website rather than sending out printed invitations at the time. That was kind of what we used.
Sustainable invitations, also ahead of your time.
And the family crest, was that like you and Niall and your dog?
Yes.
Cute. I love it. I was like, oh, did she combine your like heritage or anything? But no. It was like the new family.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it was really lovely. And the website thing again, so that worked wonderfully. And it was one of those things that, you know, you're like, oh, will people be weirded out that they don't have a physical invite? And like nobody minded.
Everyone made it on time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
And was it handy to sort of have a theme to use then whenever you were, I suppose, having a flustered moment? You could be like, no, it's about the love jam.
Yeah, exactly. So we did get a few. It just meant that one of the best things I invested in was a stamp with the love jam logo. That stamp made its way to so many things. Like, well, we got tote bags made up and we used the stamp for kind of coffee cups, napkins, plates for cheese boards. You know, it was just like everywhere. And it was good. It was a good investment.
God, you did go to a lot of effort. When you look back on it now, have you like one standout memory?
Truly, what was so lovely was the actual ceremony bit, the actual point of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because that was the only bit that I hadn't like completely micromanaged. I'd almost like forgotten about it, you know. Oh, it was really lovely walking into the room where we had our ceremony. We had a humanist ceremony, and at that time it was kind of just pre the time where the new kind of regulation came in about getting married. So it was humanist or the church, but we decided to go for a humanist ceremony. It was fantastic. Again, it was important to both of us that a woman married us, so we had a great celebrant called Sally. But I really do remember walking into the room for the first time. And this is going to sound extraordinarily cheesy, but it's exactly how I felt. I felt that I had died and gone to heaven, and that everyone was like, oh my God, you're here.
I've never heard it described that way before.
I love that. And I totally get it, yeah, though. You're and walking like, in this room and it's just loads of love.
Yeah.
And everyone's excited to see you.
Yeah, and they're literally and radiating they're like, love towards you.
Yeah. And they're like, you look so pretty. Yeah. And you're like, ah. Really, really nice. So, and I wasn't expecting that. That's a very powerful feeling. Lovely, lovely, lovely feeling. So I certainly remember that. And I remember, you know, seeing Niall there and... around all of our friends, and it, you know, it is a special day because it is unusual to have all of your people in the same room at the same time. That's what kind of makes it super special, I think.
God, I like goosebumps. I'm excited.
And these days your work takes you to weddings quite regularly with Sing Along Social. Can you explain, because I feel like I might butcher it if I do it, what Sing Along Social is?
Sure. The Sing Along Social is a zero commitment choir designed for people who cannot sing. So it's sort of like group karaoke, no microphones, no putting anybody on the spot. And we do loads of parties, and we do hen parties, birthday parties. We also do public events throughout the year, mostly in Dublin, but our private parties take us all over the country, into the UK and the States and Berlin now in September.
Wow.
Well, that's for a festival. So that's another really big part of what we do as well. So this, we're just heading into festival season for the summer. And I think it was probably about 2 years ago that I started doing weddings. And first of all, it was just for friends. And I really love being a part of a wedding. And maybe it's because I've been through it myself. And I know how important it is. And so do all of the other suppliers that I've come across, for sure. It's just an important day. And I guess it's a special day to be a part of course. And it's that's the same reason why I love doing hen parties, because I feel like it's such a privilege to be one of the gals and being a part of that pretty special day that you know, someone can have with their best friends. So yeah, the weddings, how it works at the weddings is I often kind of either pop up towards the end of the night, or, and I've done a couple of day twos as well, because it is a great hangover cure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a nice, I'm finding that day twos are still really popular, maybe gaining popularity, maybe. And I think that's really wise, because it makes a lot of sense, I think, to do the second day. If you've gone to all the trouble for the first day, and it just goes by so quickly.
Yeah, and when you've got everyone there with you for a weekend, why not make the most of it?
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, I work with couples on designing a playlist that will really suit their friends and family and maybe represent themselves. And it's basically like an interactive DJ set. So we kind of highlight certain songs through the use of props, and we always give prizes to the best worst singers, and definitely try to make a fuss over sort of special people in the bridal party too, if that's possible. We did a really lovely wedding. The mother of the bride, her favorite song was Heart of Gold by Neil Young, and I got like a giant gold balloon, like a helium one. And we like tied it around her waist.
Oh, that's
and then
so
like
cute.
The whole wedding was like around her singing to her.
I love that.
And everybody cried. Which I want to put on my business card.
Yeah.
Like
everybody cried.
Makes people cry.
- anonymous.
With joy. So that's, yeah, it's really special. I really, really enjoy it. So, you know, taking on maybe, I would say about 10 or 12 weddings a year. And I'm pretty much booked up now until kind of spring 2020, going on forward there. So that's nice.
That's
to kind
great.
Of look ahead to a busy schedule.
And did you know from when you started doing them at festivals and things that it would be a good fit for weddings? Or were you a bit nervous initially?
Yeah, I didn't really think about it. I mean, the thing with the Sing-Along Social is it's been such an organic growth of a little business, because the first time I did it, I was going to invite some friends over for brunch. Remember, I talked about my themed brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do
croissants, I remember.
Yes, yes. So we were going to do an Alanis Morissette Sing-Along Social brunch. Well, it wasn't Sing-Along Social yet. I just said, why don't you come over to my house? We'll play Jagged Little Pill and we'll just press play and sing along. It'll be so funny. And then like, my guest list kind of got a bit too big for my kitchen, so I called a pal who, you know, was running a pub at the time.
Sorry, all I can picture is brunch and there's 10,000 spoons on the table. There's no knives.
Yes, exactly. And it's like,
so on theme.
So ironic. So I called my buddy who was working in MVP at the time, really great little pub in Dublin 8. And I was like, could I use your room for this? I just want to sing along to this album with some pals. And he was like, yeah. And then I put it up on Facebook just because maybe, I don't know, some other people might want to come. Within a day or two, like 1,000 people wanted to come.
Whoa.
So anyway, on the night, we got 100 people in the door because it's a tiny pub. And it was the most fun. And I just kept doing it. And then I think it was the next month. By the next month, I had come, or my, sorry, now my husband had come up with the name Sing Along Social. He's very good at naming things. Then gradually over the years, it just built up to doing monthly events and then festivals, and then I think birthday parties might have come after that, and on to weddings and corporate events. And now I have a team of 8 crack mechanics. Are their
Love
official
their job title.
Job title? Yeah. So, you know, their job is to just facilitate the sort of machinery one needs to have a cracktastic party, and they're absolute experts. So that's really wonderful. It means that there are teams that can do hen parties at different parts of the country, and makes us a bit more kind of flexible, and it broadens our capacity of what we can do. But it also means that that we just have a wonderful team of people working together. So that's really, really fun and really positive.
And as someone who professionally has to bring the banter to hen parties, you must be great crack on a hen party.
I'm actually so boring. I am actually, I'm like one of those sort of introverted extroverts. I really need a job. It might be, okay, I think I'm just being modest. Of course, I'm an incredible crack like, at all times. No, but it's true though. I also don't drink alcohol. I gave up alcohol about a year and a half before our wedding, actually. It wasn't connected to getting married or anything, but my wedding became a goalpost of like, you know what, I'll just stay off drink until then. And then it kind of came closer and I thought, actually, of all the days, this is the one that I want to be sober at for me personally. Yeah. And it's become really useful for me to have something like the sing-along social because it's my way of kind of being a part of the crack. Because that can be a bit of an adjustment if you stop drinking alcohol in a place where it's, you know, the glue that kind of keeps us, keeps us partying.
Yeah.
So this is it's a really good way for me to kind of still be a part of the crack by actually kind of providing it in a way. Yeah. So yeah, at a hen party, I will give myself a job. So it's kind of annoying.
I'm the same though. I'm more fun, I feel like, if I just feel more comfortable at a hen party or a wedding if I've taken on a job. I mean, sometimes it's fine if I don't, but
yes,
I feel a bit more involved and then I end up, you know, just being more relaxed version of myself.
We went to a hen recently and I set up my own little glitter station and I was self-appointed glitter applier.
Yes.
And it does help. It helps you mix people.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a great time with the aunties.
I did. I now know them all by name.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm just known as Glitter Girl, but that's okay.
It'd be great at the wedding. They'd be like, where's Glitter Girl?
Yeah.
Quick, there's a glitter emergency. Get Glitter Girl. I love it.
We'll make you a cape.
It's so cute.
Thank you.
Eva, can I ask about the playlists at weddings? Like, does it tend to be the couples choose like quite a broad mix, or is there ever someone who's like, just play George Michael?
So how I approach the wedding is finding as much information about the guests who are going to be there. So, you know, some people have more just like friends, or some people have a really multi-generational mix. So through doing loads of different parties for loads of different types of people of all ages over the years, truly, like, I guess I have a good idea of what does work and what songs are really good for a big group. So I don't tend to do, say, for example, the public gigs that I do would tend to be a specific artist. So it could be ABBA versus Fleetwood Mac or Spice Girls or Alanis. But with the hen parties and weddings, we tend to be a bit more broad. It is led by the bride and groom, the groom and groom, or the bride and bride. And so I'll take into account some of their special songs, like say the Heart of Gold for the mother of the bride or something like that. So then we can personalize it. But it really does depend. And I do curate it especially for that event as well. So I think that's important for everybody, because it's important for me, I think, as the DJ, to not be like, if I hear Don't Stop Believing by Journey one more time, I will stop believing in myself. And so I think that's really important too, to just kind of keep
fresh.
Yeah.
And for couples who are maybe going with a more cookie cutter wedding and they're looking for ways to make it unique, would you have any tips for putting your own stamp on your day?
Just pick a theme and just like give something a title. It's unbelievable. Like you can have like a croissant that, like, you know, for this is such a good example because I literally bought these croissants. Oh no, I lie. I cannot help myself. I could have just bought the croissants and called them Diana croissants for my disco brunch, but I did add like honey and bee pollen because I'm a incurable hipster. And but we could have just left them as a normal croissants, right? So anyway, the thing was just giving it a name, I guess, worked. So I think it's just personalizing things to your family and your friends and yourselves as a couple, because I guess even if you did it completely DIY like we did, I mean, we still had, you know, the ceremony, the dinner and the dancing. You know, the template is there and it works. So, and as you said, so even if you're getting a cookie cutter a wedding, there's still loads of ways to make it your own. I think, you know, maybe names of your tables, or I just think delegating and maybe not, you know, I mean, it depends, because you could also, you know, lean on your friends and family. I think, as we've all said, like, I think most people love a job.
Yeah.
And it can be a really good way if you've got someone in your family who maybe is a little anxious or something like that. They might need a little job to kind of keep them going, keep them busy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think leaning on your pals is a great way to, you know, use their skills to make things unique as well.
And our last question is one that I think you are perfectly placed to answer. Not only did you write a book called Slow at Work, which is wonderful, I've read it, it's fantastic, about sort of fostering a healthy work-life balance. There's a lot more in it than that, but that's the general gist. But you also mentioned that you were a little bit of a stressed bride. Do you have any tips for couples on dealing with wedding planning burnout? Because that's something we hear about a lot.
Yes. In my book, I do reference Love Jam because there's a chapter about recovery time. So if you think about yourself at work, if you think about, I think it's especially for people who are working for themselves, but not even, just because we're so connected, it can be really difficult to prioritize your downtime and to actually take like real proper breaks. One of the people I interviewed for my book was Dervil O'Rourke, the hurdler, the athlete. And she was talking about how athletes always prioritize their recovery time. It's part of their training. It's literally part of their job to rest, because they know that if you want to run a marathon, you can't do it unless you've, you know, trained properly and you've taken that rest time. So work is kind of similar. And it has been really helpful for me to start thinking about my recovery time as part of my job, so I don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving out to myself like when I'm supposed to be resting. And I'm like, you know, a good example is like if you're at a friend's wedding and you're like nipping off to the bathroom to like check your email and your phone, you know, it's just like, no, out of office, like nothing is an emergency. If it really is an emergency, someone's going to find you, you know. I think the part of my book where I reference the wedding is talking about activities that you can do that help promote like a good, healthy, proper switch off recovery. And one of those times was when myself and Niall made our wedding rings. So we did a jewelry workshop, and it was just really lovely because we really worked on it 50-50. We really did. And we each had these like huge to-do lists, but it was like we were sort of in little mini silos, like,
yeah,
you know,
you're both beavering away separately.
Yeah, he's doing like all the stuff over there and I'm doing all the stuff. And then it was so nice to come together and make these rings together. And it was like 2 days, and, you know, it was very analog. It was us working with our hands, working kind of side by side. I made my own ring, he made his ring. And that to me as well symbolized our relationship, you know, because we're both very independent, but we really support each other and just kind of, you know, work alongside each other to try and create our best possible life. But like, I don't let him touch my stuff, so I was just kidding. But it was really lovely. So I think taking time out to just remember that all of this other frilly stuff truly does not matter, and it's not what you're going to remember. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to make an effort, and it is important to be prepared and make sure that you've got all the boxes ticked. And, you know, people are going to want to eat. They are going to want to dance, but they're the most sympathetic audience that you're ever going to have. They're not going to care if you made the jam yourself. They're going to really appreciate it if you do. They're not going to talk about whether the dinner was cold, and if they do, like, who gives a hoot? What you're going to remember yourself is how everybody made you feel, how you felt, and just about the actual important thing, which is the two of you getting married in front of your pals and your family. So I think getting away from the jobs is really important, and maybe taking time out together to do something nice. And maybe try to not talk about it for a day or two would probably be good too. But I think that was a really good moment for us. And we did, like, we had good moments throughout. But yeah, I just got really stressed out about it. You know, it's big, like the pressure of it. Yeah.
Especially when you're doing all of the things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Aoife, you've been magic. And yes. If there isn't Diana Crossans at a real wedding in the next 18 months, I will be very surprised.
At least a hen party brunch.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
We have to say a huge thank you to Aoife for coming in and chatting to us. You can find out all about her work, including Sing Along Social and her book Slow at Work, online at aoifemcilwain.com.
One Fab Day, Listener Dilemmas.
Now it's time for one of our favourite parts of the show, where we answer one of your wedding-related questions. Selena has been digging around our digital mailbag this week, and she's chosen this week's dilemma.
So we had a message from a listener on Instagram who writes, "How do I put a disclaimer on the invite that basically says there's no pressure to come to the wedding? How do I word this? Our wedding is on the Aran Islands, so it may require people taking Friday and Monday off work, as the wedding is Saturday and the first ferry doesn't leave a lot of time to get ready. I absolutely want everyone to come, and friends in Australia have already booked flights home as soon as we set the date, but I want to acknowledge that it's far and awkward and that we won't be annoyed if people can't come."
I think, as always, the people who want to be there will be there.
Yeah, I think my advice for this person is kind of have confidence in your day and that people are really going to want to come. So don't be worrying that you're putting them out or that there's this external pressure on them to come, because really, they probably all will be delighted to come. And yeah, okay, it's maybe more awkward than, let's say, if they're all based in Dublin and there's a city wedding in Dublin. But, you know, part of the fun of weddings is that every couple of weddings you go somewhere completely random and a bit different. And most of them will enjoy that and lean into it.
I think if you're really, really nervous, feel like you have to justify it, say something on the invitation like, "We're really excited to have you in one of our favourite places and we really hope you can make the journey." And that implies that you're aware it's a journey. You're aware that they might need to take a half day from work, but that there's a reason why you're asking them to go there. You haven't just picked Timbuktu for no reason. You're bringing them to Aran Islands because you think it's beautiful and you think they'll have a great time when they're there.
Yeah, and a good way to word the RSVP is something like, "Of course I'll be there on the day," or "I'll be celebrating from afar," which kind of, I think, makes them feel like it's less of a big deal if they can't actually make it.
Yeah, they're not like, "Regretfully won't be attending."
Yeah, I never understand why they word things that way. That makes it sound like they're like weeping while they're filling out the card. Obviously no one is going to tick that box. So yeah, there's definitely ways you can word it to make people seem like, you know, it's totally fine for them not to come. But probably all of them really want to come.
Yeah, Aran Island sounds like a great crack wedding.
It does.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I, Fester Adam, do hereby declare my unending love.
Ditto.
I will worship you forever.
Now for something that's not your wedding.
One of the biggest challenges of wedding planning is knowing when to set aside your to-do list and give yourself a well-earned break from the admin. But as per usual, Claire and I have got your back. Every single week, we recommend something fun for you to do that's got absolutely nothing to do with weddings. Claire, I believe you've prepared a little something for us today.
I've prepared a whole couch.
What are you talking about?
So my recommendation for this week, so as Aoife said, it's really good to like use your hands when you're trying to clear your head.
It's good for mindfulness.
Yes. So my recommendation this week is to make your own furniture.
Okay, that sounds quite involved.
It's not, because I borrowed an idea from Pinterest and I made myself a pallet couch. Well, I say I made with the help of my husband. He did most of the work, let's be honest.
So an outdoor couch made of pallets.
Yes.
For summertime drinks,
yes,
and such.
Yes, if it sounds awful, Pinterest it and you'll see there's nice ones. I'm in the process of styling it out, so I'm making myself a little corner of the garden. There's going to be an outdoor rug. There's a fire pit. There'll be some like hurricanes with candles in them and some hanging plant dealios. It's going to be gorge.
And there is something in that about the whole like using your hands thing, because I feel like if you are literally hammering one pallet to another pallet, you can't possibly be thinking about your wedding.
Exactly. It's total, yeah, absolutely clears your mind. This one might not be for people who are doing a lot of DIY for their wedding. They might be like, I can't look at another palette.
Fair.
But if you're having maybe a more glam traditional wedding, but you want to get your hands dirty, make your own furniture.
I have a question. Would IKEA furniture count?
I guess doing some flatback. But I don't know if that's like a new hobby to do this week.
But you know, it might help you switch off in
yeah.
a way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Make a wardrobe or something.
I'm not going to be doing that, but it's very
cute. You know, we're a broad church here. They won't all apply to everybody.
I don't know if I'm going to be doing this one, but I can't wait to come over and sit on your pallet couch and enjoy a drink in the summertime.
Yep,
if you'll
have
me.
A gin ready for you.
Thanks, Claire.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
That's it for this week's episode of the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. If you've got something to add to the conversation, please do drop us a line. You can email us at hello@onefabday.com or message us via social. We're at onefabday on all the major social channels.
And while we have you, we'd love if you can help us spread the word about the podcast. You can do this by rating or reviewing us on iTunes and sending a link on to anyone you know who might enjoy it. And don't forget to head over to onefabday.com for your daily fix of wedding inspiration and information. We've got new features going up every single day, and if you have a browser around, you'll find helpful guides on pretty much every aspect of wedding planning, from budgets to bridal shoes.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.